Yes.
Okay. Call the meeting to order. First order of business is the approval of the agenda. Ms. Cornwell, do we have any changes to the agenda this evening?
There are no proposed changes to the agenda.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve the agenda as posted.
Second.
Moved and seconded to approve the agenda as posted. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay, opposed? Carried. Our next item is the approval of the minutes of the February 9 and the February 23rd meetings. By the way, did everyone receive revised February 23rd minutes late this afternoon? Would have been late this afternoon.
I think I had it this morning or something.
They were sent out late this afternoon. I accidentally sent out the draft version instead of the final version.
Okay.
Yeah, by mistake. There was a mix-up.
I didn't read that. I was traveling.
I actually did not look at them until this afternoon myself, so that was my
Yeah, and I reviewed them. They looked fine until this afternoon.
So, but the final ones finally did go out. So if...
Were any edits made to the February 9th?
Yes, there were edits made to both the February 9th and 23rd, so they would both be revised if you so choose to approve them.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve the minutes for February 9th and February 23rd as revised.
Second.
Moved and seconded to approve the minutes of the February 9 and February 23rd, 2017 meetings as revised. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. All right, our first item of business this evening is the discussion regarding comprehensive plan. We had a very extensive, long, and I believe productive meeting yesterday. Unless the commission has some further discussion of their own, Mr. Robertson.
Just one email that I think everybody got that, from Robert W. Tunnell III that he wanted read into the record. I'll summarize it because it's two parts. He thanks us for the workshop, said how impressed he was with the way the meeting was run, the depth of the information provided, the openness of the process, and the overall conversation and exchange between yourselves, I mean the commission, McCormick and Taylor, and the general public. And then he goes on to state that, as you all requested, he's going to do some research, contacting some professionals in other regions with regard to the transfer of development rights programs and ways that they've worked to balance growth and density and preservation of open space and working lands without affecting property rights, land values, and so forth. And then he's going to get those to us with some for us for consideration. He also read through the draft vision statement, and he has one of his own. Which I'll just read, and this will all be part of the record for the comp plan, too. We envision Sussex County as Delaware's leader in agribusiness, tourism, and economic growth by sustaining the county's main agricultural, natural, cultural, and human resources and encouraging new growth and economic vitality that provides job opportunities for Sussex County through smart investment in infrastructure, efficient use of county resources, low taxes, and protection of private property rights. So that was his stab at a vision statement, which will be part of the record. Which we'll probably we're going to revisit vision statements at some point. So if we could make sure this gets in that subfile, you know, how
absolutely.
Do we do that? And there's copies I have to hand down. Yeah, I might have. I meant to. Give me a second. I'll get them back out. Yeah, here we go. So that's all I had, Mr. Chairman. Thanks.
Okay, great. Any discussion on Mr. Tunnell's email or? At this time, we can always revisit it after you've had a chance to think about it. And Mr. Tunnell, if you're listening by the internet, we thank you for your email and for your interest and for your participation. And that goes for everyone in the room who is here or might be here at some point to weigh in and assist us in drafting this comprehensive plan. We thank you in advance for your efforts. And with that being said, we'll open the floor for public comment regarding the land use plan. Is there anyone here that would like to speak regarding the comprehensive land use plan? Yes, ma'am, right over here. A familiar face. But you still have to tell us who you are because the computer doesn't recognize your face.
I will do that. My name is Barbara Vaughn. I'm from Lewis, Delaware. There's a couple of new people that I haven't met before, but I'm pleased to be here this evening, and I'm here to represent the historic Lewis Byway, and I want to reinforce what I believe Dave Ennis said yesterday. I also just wanted to comment that I do serve on the Lewis Planning Commission, and it took us the better part of 3 years, beginning in 2013, to get the 2015 comp plan written. And so my hat's off to you, and I hope it doesn't take you 3 years. But
I can assure you that it will take us 3 years.
So all I want to do is to say the whole concept of the byway, particularly for a historic area, both on the Nanticoke side and the Lewis side, is very important, and we are very pleased that that you will be including some description and progress and future aspirations in the comp plan. So I've brought a few copies of a kind of short history, and I will give them to Janelle, and I thank you for listening to me. Thank you.
Yes, Ms. Vaughn, can I ask just one question, because it would probably help us with the comp plan too. I think I may know the answer, but there's sort of one property owner that owns a lot of property along Kings Highway. Has the byway committee, I think they have, but have they had any discussions with like J.G. Townsend or some of the other property owners along there just to see what level of cooperation?
Oh, we've not only had conversations, they have attended meetings. But the byway is about the roads.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
So I mean, it's nice to have a good relationship with the property owners, but the real impact is on the roads. And certainly, Kings Highway is probably one of the most historic parts of historic Lewis. That's part of the whole Kings Highway, all up from the top of the state all the way down to the bottom. And we do have a corridor management plan that's been adopted for Kings Highway, and that will impact on the intersection with Gills Neck Road and Kings Highway. So there is an impact. And I think my feeling is we're all on the same page.
Okay. That was my question. Thank you very much.
Sure. Thank you. Okay, anyone else like to speak? Yes, sir. Come on up.
Are you a congressional committee wannabe? Have you been here 27 hours? Because I left you yesterday and you were all still here.
Stevenson has been, according to the chief, so she claims. She claimed to have been.
Anyway, Mr. Chairman, thank you for the opportunity to address the commission once again. Wow, you guys are just amazing at sitting here all this time. It's remarkable. But in any case, I'm Jeff Stone from Milton. I'm here this evening as a member of a new advocacy group, the Sussex Alliance for Responsible Growth, SARGE to be short. SARGE is a nonpartisan alliance formed to inform, educate, and engage the citizens of Sussex County as to the critical importance of the development, the adoption, and implementation of a comprehensive plan that fosters smart growth, ensures a balance between sustainable quality of life and economic development, and encourages responsible and transparent governance. We see ourselves working in a complementary fashion with your efforts to get as many citizens and their diverse views from all around the county included in the writing of the new comprehensive plan. We believe that too few of our residents realize the impact that the comprehensive plan has on their daily lives. Virtually everything they like or dislike about the county, living and working here, can be traced back in some fashion to the plan. Having said that, it was heartening to see the turnout at the various comment sessions that were held around the county and the thoughtfulness of so many of the comments. We commend the commission for that effort and the excellent website that the staff has created and maintained. It's that kind of input from residents and business that should guide your deliberations and form the foundation of a new plan. SARGE itself will not advocate for specific positions regarding the plan elements. We see our role as encouraging as many people as possible to do that on their own or through other organizations, such as homeowner associations. We will, as I'm going to do so tonight, seek to make the process clear and enhance people's understanding of the issues by providing them directly with information on these issues or directing them to others who can. As you know all too well, terms can get thrown into testimony or presentations that some may understand, others think they understand, and others have no clue. Smart growth is just one that is overused and much misunderstood. We can and will provide sources of real, objective information on such issues. In this particular instance, we can provide information from the American Planning Association, their Smart Growth America, so people can understand and judge for themselves the applicability of these concepts to Sussex. We do have one question and one recommendation for the Commission this evening. The question is, we would like to get a better understanding as to how the Commission is using and integrating the public comments gathered in the sessions months ago, as well as at these meetings, and how it's being integrated into the planning process. This became all the more relevant to me yesterday during the detailed discussion that you had of the historic preservation element. I didn't hear any reference to public comments by the staff or the consultants or the commission. Now, perhaps I wasn't paying enough attention, but I don't think so. I'm not suggesting that you're ignoring the public comment, not at all. But we strongly believe that your discussion of each element should acknowledge, account for, and include at least a distillation of the public comments, both qualitative and quantitative, made about each element. It's not enough to just ask people to comment, and it's important that those comments be considered and incorporated. Equally important that the people who made the effort know that they've been heard. That provides extra value and credibility to the plan, encourages citizens to participate and contribute. My recollection is that the 2008 plan was criticized by the state for not having enough public participation, and you have gone to great lengths to remedy that. By including the public's comments in each element discussion, you'll end up having a broader perspective and a better plan, in our opinion. Our other issue today is that the county, we all agree, I think, needs a clearer, more accountable, and to use an already overused term, transparent plan than the 2008 document. I think most would agree the plan that was written was too general, lacked accountability, and is subject to too many multiple interpretations. It cannot perform well as a guide for critical decision making. We strongly encourage you to consider adopting and utilizing something called the SMART, or SMART Goals process, in your drafting of the new plan. The SMART Goals, it's S period, M period, etc., goals process in multiple iterations has been used successfully for years in the private sector, the nonprofit sector, and the public sector. A SMART goal is defined as one that is specific, measurable, achievable, results-focused, and time-bound. Applying these principles brings clarity and helps prioritize goals and objectives in a meaningful way. It also provides perspective, acts as a reality check, helping to prevent lofty but unattainable goals from permeating a plan. A quick Google search, I don't need to do that for you, on SMART will provide you with many, many examples in the academic world, private sector, public sector, and the explanation of use of SMART goals. I thank you for your time. Look forward to your continuing dialogue as we move forward with this, and I hope you get out of here early tonight. Good luck.
Well, we'll see. Thank you for coming. I believe you were here yesterday.
I was.
All right.
Well,
you were here. You made the effort, and we appreciate it. And I have to say, suggestion about the public comments is something we certainly should consider. We do take public comment into account. We get there's a cataloging of them that we all have and to read and refer to. But certainly, perhaps a more more public acknowledgement of that might be in order and perhaps could find its way into the introduction, preamble, or opening paragraphs of the section. We'll certainly, speaking for myself, there are four other commissioners here, but speaking for myself, I think it's something we could take under advisement.
So, I like it.
Yeah. All right, who's next? Oh my goodness, going once. Oh, here we go. Okay.
Good evening. I am Sue Claire Harper. I live in Rehoboth Beach, and I want to thank the Commission for having this open session, and particularly at the beginning of the meeting. One of my dear friends, Mabel Granke, hoped to be here this evening, as I think she's mentioned, but was unable to because of a conflict of responsibilities. I'm not speaking for Mabel, I'm speaking for myself. I wanted just a brief comment. I'm hoping that the 2018, the draft of the 2018 comp plan and the final result will have a meaningful response to the issues of climate change, specifically the broad issue of climate change, but specifically the issues of sea level rise, the related storm surge. I think everyone will agree that when Sandy hit our shores, we really bit the bullet. We were very lucky not to have had greater damage such as occurred in New Jersey, but I think it's only a matter of time. And I hope that the comp plan, as it looks forward, as you project, that you will consider that a significant portion of the plan. Thank you so much.
All right, thank you.
And I do hope that you will continue to have this early session at least once a month during your planning and zoning meetings.
That is the goal. We've had this discussion. We're going to try to do this at the beginning of the meeting once a month. There could be situations where we're not able to do that, but it looks pretty clear that we'll be able to do that at least one meeting a month, where the session will be in the front. And I think we're going to try to do that the first meeting. Generally, it'll be the first meeting of the month, but please check the agenda online to make sure that they're
and that will be 7 days ahead, correct?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Wonderful.
It has to be. It'll be posted 7 days prior.
Because putting on another hat as the chair of the League of Women Voters Land Use Committee, the League has been promoting attendance at this. We do an email blast twice a month to encourage people to speak, and we will promote that idea.
The League has, Sarge has, and I think there's a couple others, and we appreciate that. That will mean more from groups like yours doing it than it would be for us. I mean, we're doing it too, but I think it means more when it comes from the public.
Well, we're hoping it's successful.
When the public is encouraging the public, I think it just carries more weight.
That's the League's efforts, as I think you realize. It's a nonpartisan effort to get everyone to voice their concerns. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Okay, anyone else? Any comments on the land use plan? All right, going twice. All right, then. Thank you very much. We'll proceed with the rest of our meeting. Let's see, we've got two items of old business this evening. The first one being change of zone, number 1814, Stokely Tavern, LLC.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we recommend approval of change in zone, number 1814 for Stokely Tavern, LLC, for a change in zone from AR1 to CR1, based on the record made during the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, the site is located along Route 113, which is an appropriate location for CR1 zoning. Two, this application is for a site that has been used for commercial purposes for decades. There has been a tavern continuously operating on the site since at least the 1940s. Number three, this application will make the underlying zoning consistent with historical use of the property. Number four, rezoning the property to CR1 will not have an adverse impact upon adjacent properties, community facilities, roadways, or the neighborhood in general. Number five, the rezoning meets the purpose of the zoning code, and that it is located on a major arterial roadway, and it promotes the orderly growth, convenience, order, prosperity, and welfare of the county. Number six, no parties appeared in opposition to this application.
Second.
Been moved and seconded to recommend approval of change of zone number 1814, Stokely Tavern, LLC, for the reasons and with conditions stated in the motion. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? Carried. Our next item is conditional use number 2068, Charles J. Short.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we recommend approval of CU 2068 for Charles J. Short for an auto repair shop, based on the record made at the public hearing for the following reasons. One, the automobile repair facility is small, and with the conditions and stipulations placed on it, it will not have an adverse impact on the neighboring properties or community. Two, the site is located on a 24.978 acre property. With the conditions imposed upon this approval, the conditional use will only occupy a small portion of the site. Three, the use of an automobile repair facility is of public or semi-public character and is desirable for the general convenience and welfare of the area. Four, this recommendation for approval is subject to the following conditions and stipulations. A, one lighted sign not to exceed 32 square feet per side shall be permitted. B, security lighting shall be downscreened and shall be directed away from the neighboring properties and roadways. C, any dumpsters shall be screened from view of neighbors and roadways. The dumpster locations shall be shown on the final site plan. D, all repairs shall be performed indoors. No automobile parts shall be stored outside. E, no junked, unregistered, or permanently inoperable vehicles or trailers shall be stored on the site. F, no more than 10 cars shall be on the site for repairs at any one time. G, the area of the conditional use shall be limited to the paved driveway, the stone driveway, entrance, and existing metal building shown on the conditional use plan submitted with a conditional use application, or approximately 2 acres. These areas shall be clearly identified on the final site plan as area of use. The use shall not expand beyond these areas without any additional public hearing. The rear perimeter of the conditional use area shall be screened from view of neighboring properties with a fence or vegetation. The screen shall be shown on the final site plan. J, the last one was H, and this is I. I, no cars shall be sold on the property. Am I on to J now?
I'm not sure, but it was just going to be a G. J talks after I.
Okay, I think I'm at J. J, the site shall be subject to all DLDOT entrance and roadway requirements. H, the final site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to recommend approval of conditional use 2068 Charles J. Short for the reasons and with the stipulations stated in the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Carried. All right then, ladies and gentlemen, we've reached the point in our meeting where it's time for our public hearings. We're very glad that you were with us this evening, giving up your Thursday evening to participate in your planning and zoning process. I assure you that anyone who wishes to speak on a given application will be given the opportunity to do so at the appropriate time and in accordance with the rules of the commission. Speaking of the rules of the commission, please allow me to direct your attention to our esteemed counsel to my left and your right, who has a few well-chosen words to share with you about the way we conduct our meetings and the way we would like you to conduct yourselves.
Thank you, Chairman Wheatley. As the Chairman stated, this is the time for the scheduled public hearings before the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission, as shown on tonight's agenda. These proceedings are conducted under the rules of the Planning and Zoning Commission. All Commission matters are discussed and voted on publicly in open meetings. Everyone present is invited to stay throughout the Commission meeting to view the Commission's deliberations and the votes on the pending applications. In addition, these proceedings are broadcast on the Internet at sussexcountyde.gov. Everyone in attendance should conduct themselves in an orderly fashion. No applause or other disruptive behavior is permitted. Please don't do anything that distracts from these proceedings, and we ask that you follow the direction of the chairman. Likewise, if you have a telephone or similar device, we ask that you turn it off or switch it to silent service. The hearings will be conducted as follows. First, the application will be announced by the chairman, and the director will review the application and describe any agency comments or correspondence that's been received. Then the applicant will present and explain its application to the commission and may present any relevant exhibits and testimony in support of the application. The commission may question the applicant and its witnesses at any time. After the applicant's presentation, the chairman will invite public comment. Supporters will go first, followed by any opponents. If there is a spokesperson or an attorney representing an organized group, we ask that that person identify themselves and speak first. Whenever speaking to the commission, please come to the podium and identify yourself by name and place of residence for the record. We ask that you be concise in your statements and avoid being repetitious. The chairman does have the authority to set reasonable time limit on testimony from the applicant and the audience, and he has the authority to terminate testimony from anyone that is irrelevant or unduly repetitive. In addition, Sussex County, in its zoning and land use decisions, does not discriminate against persons based on race, color, religion, national origin, handicap or disability, familial status, sex, creed, marital status, age, sexual orientation, or gender identity. Public comments made on the basis of bias and stereotype concerning people within these protected classes will not be taken into consideration by the county in its deliberations. During the proceedings, no direct questioning or cross-examination of the applicant, supporters, or opponents will be permitted. Any questions should be directed to the commission, and the commission will direct the question to the appropriate person if necessary. Finally, there will be no rebuttal by the applicant unless requested or permitted by the commission. An individual supporting or opposing an application will only be allowed one opportunity to speak to the commission. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.